I have to be honest in telling you that I wrote this at about 4 o'clock yesterday and threw it together. And it's a very rough draft of just some thoughts that I have, really the direction that we're going. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that because I want to continue to prep you for the idea that we can actually interact with the Holy Spirit in the areas inside us and in our memories to engage with Him in the healing process, that we don't need to follow textbook curriculum to get the healing we need. In fact, the textbook will not heal us. Did you know? I know I'm going to offend some people. Do you know the Bible won't heal you in and of yourself? Did you know that? In and of itself? Okay, I know that that's like people like freak out. It's like it's living and it's active and it's powerful. It's living and it's active and it's powerful when the Spirit of Almighty God is activating it. And guess what? This process. But I've learned it all. I've read it all. Words are words are words are words are words until the Spirit of the living God maneuvers through it and begins to break through it. So I was really communicating with the Lord, and hopefully no one thinks that's weird about this, and I kept getting just the concept of 3D kept going through my mind, because there is a very big difference between viewing scripturally and viewing theologically and going reading materials and actually engaging in healing with an activated God who's actually injecting himself into your experience and actually going after and attacking the residue in your soul. Okay, that is surgical. That is surgical. That is a physical doctrine. I'm sorry for that. I keep like what does that say? Belaboring the whole surgery illustration, but I can't stop myself because it's so radically exactly right on that we just sometimes don't get the spiritual stuff. I mean, we know that that doctor that went to school for 8 years that did my husband's heart surgery, I mean, what is he going to do? Go in the room and then read his book about what heart surgery looks like? Well, this is what your heart surgery, until he gets that knife on in his hand and until the theology that he learned in heart school, whatever that is, until he learned that, okay, until his textbook knowledge put a knife in his hand and taught him the precision necessary to go and to access and to heal and to bring, until that happens, that engagement with the doctor's theology means nothing to the man sitting on the table, okay? And I want really to try to bridge and to try to introduce this concept, because it's where people get stuck. It's where people get frustrated. It's where people don't understand, why do I have to keep drudging through this stuff? Why do we have to go here again? I don't really want, and I've written about it, and I've talked about it, and I've looked at it. What more can I do? I see it. It's there. Okay? And some of this writing is going to just give you a little bit more detail. And like I said, you know, forgive me if I have some, some things that don't totally make sense. Hopefully most of it does, but you'll have to give me some grace. So I want you to understand the concept of inner healing prayer being three-dimensional as opposed to one-dimensional. And by that, I'm talking about literally what I talked about already, the difference between words and experience. If you looked at a map of the United States, and you looked at the United States of America on a map, and you planned a road trip from California to New York, all you see is a bunch of dots that represent cities and a nice line that makes a straight cut across country. And on that map represents all these different cities that you're going to go through. And that map gives you directional, just like what we're reading about, just like what the Word of God does. It gives you a directional. But you get inside your car and you start traipsing through every single mountain, every single city, every single experience. Guess what? It's quite a bit different than what it looked like on the map. Do you understand the difference? Another illustration to use just to help you to understand just where I'm coming from. I just want you to understand that. And some of the reason I wrote this is because we had a discussion in our group last week, and some different things got brought to the surface. And I thought, you know, I really need to address this stuff so that you guys don't just understand where I'm coming from and understand why I would even bring you through this, okay? A postcard, you see a postcard of a destination, of Bahamas or something beautiful. And you look at the postcard and it's beautiful. But all you're seeing is a still shot. You go to that location the perspective of that's going to be altogether different. And once you experience it and once you walk through it, I mean, there's not a comparison between it. And recovery, what we're doing right now is that dramatic of a difference between having the theology behind it versus experientially allowing the Spirit of God to go inside our inner life and to begin to take us on a journey where we're actually walking through the space of our soul with Him, and we're actually journeying through it. That means it's got depth and it's got dimension to it. Your soul is not a flat map where you can just look it on the map and go, okay, room of mom, room of dad. Okay, it's not just this little map and you can go, I'm gonna pick that one and I'm gonna work on that and I'm gonna write all my stuff on that. That's like surfacey, levely stuff. What we actually need to do is open it like a door and let Jesus bring it inside as though it's this vast, enormous space that we probably can't even measure. Does that make sense? I mean, we can't even probably measure it, the size and the depth of your soul. You can't, it's vast, it's huge, it's enormous, probably bigger than this country. I mean, it's a different kind of space. So it's hard to even, you know, put a measurement to that, okay? And so I want you to understand that the role of the Word of God, because you always have the people, and I'm not saying there's anyone in here or on the webinar, but you always have the people that are like, shouldn't you just be teaching the Word of God? Okay, I'm sorry. Did that sound like I have a bitter root? I'm sorry. Forgive me, Jesus. If I've heard it once, though, I've heard it a million times. Listen, how many Bible studies did I sit in? How many times had I read the same thing over and over and over again? Do I think the Word of God is precious and complete and pure and whole and it brings every promise and every need in our life? I absolutely do. But there's a very, very, very important factor in the Word of God being able to do its job, and that's called the Holy Spirit. We need to get comfortable that the Holy Spirit is not some fanatical, radical, weird ideology, but that He's the power of the living God to take the Word, the written Word, and to absorb it and turn it into a 3D experience in our life so that we are not just reading the word, but that He's actually carrying it into our daily experience. We're walking into it. We're walking it out. That's a really hard concept to kind of understand and absorb. But if we don't get the difference between the two, and there are so many people, they are theologians. They are theologians, and you know what? They got their theology down, and boy, let me tell you what, you are not going to change their theology either, okay? Because they know it. But when you walk into the vast, enormous ways that the Spirit of God wants to lead us experientially into actually applying the Word into our past, into our present, into our healing, things start to look a little bit different. Things start to look a little bit different. You're like, where's that in the Bible? Well, you know what? I don't have that in the Bible. You know what I do have, though? I have the character of God in the Bible. I have the principles of God in the Bible. I have the promises of God in the Bible. I have the basic infrastructure of how everything works in the spiritual realm. I have that in the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus are people, a person. And so when I walk with Him through this journey, when I go with Him through this journey, we are not going to be like, let's go on a journey and watch the map and read the map. Or we're going to do surgery. Let's read about surgery. I'll tell you everything about surgery. That would be like the doctor that never takes a knife and learns how to actually go. Do you understand what I mean? He is active. He wants to interact in a real and tangible way as a person, not as a theology, not as a concept, not as an idea. And so what I've found, because it's so hard for us to absorb that, because it takes a spiritual understanding of how to talk and walk to Jesus, what I found is that prayer can oftentimes do that. I call it inner healing prayer, can sometimes do that and set the tone for the dialogue that we honestly don't know how to set ourselves, okay? And that's, I'm giving you all that, kind of all that, I don't know, all that background information so that you even understand why I'm doing it. Now, this is another thing that I've heard people say, you know, like the kind of prayer that we're going to do. It's like, And by the way, I don't have a prayer planned. I don't actually know what's going to come out. I don't have it like written out. Okay, I just want to be clear on that. It's just going to be a spirit-led, whatever he wants to do. I also want to be clear that in groups, you don't always have the same ability. I can't talk back. You can't talk back to me like I would do in a one-on-one. So it does run a little bit differently, okay? But sometimes people are like, well, that sounds kind of New Age. Let me tell you what New Age is. Do you want to hear what New Age is? New Age is demonic. New Age is demonic. New Age steals the concepts and the principles of being guided by the Holy Spirit and inserts a demonic influence and takes the very premise of how in some ways the Spirit, because the devil's not stupid, y'all. Demons aren't dumb. They're smart. They know how to mimic the Lord. They know how to mimic. They know what's up. They know all the spiritual rules in the spiritual realm. They totally get what's up. So they understand that. And so something like New Age, what it does is it perverts the truth. And this is pretty much how the devil always works. I was reading something that said the enemy, they does not have a creative side to him. He cannot create. All he can do is pervert. He can take God's creation and perverts it and turns it into something else. Listen to me. The only thing that really, really matters when you're doing prayer or you're interacting in any kind of process, any kind of situation, the only thing that matters is that the authentic Holy Spirit is guiding and influence. If people come against a theological system or a teaching that they don't live up to, you know, one of the things I really say is, you know what, you really have to make sure that if you're going to accuse someone of teaching something that is absolutely, I don't agree with that and that's wrong, and you think that what they're doing is wrong, you can actually be accusing them then of not operating by the Holy Spirit. And if you're not operating by the Holy Spirit, who are you operating by? I've learned, even the theological people, I have learned it's holy ground to judge unless you know. I mean, unless the fruit is evident. And I mean, New Age, you should, as you move on, you should be able to spot it right away. Okay, you should be able to spot it right away. However, let me tell you what, the Spirit of God doesn't always move in these little prepackaged theological forms that we would like. Okay, let me give you an example. If you're like, what in the heck is she talking about? Okay, what happens if we go into a memory with somebody who was a little kid and that little kid starts to talk as though they're a little kid? Where's the theological reference point in the Word of God? How could that happen? I don't know. I really don't know. Can it happen? It absolutely can happen. And sometimes it has to happen. Sometimes that's part of the healing, is that the Holy Spirit allows a connection to be felt so intensely with that child at that point that they are actually almost fully engaging that way. Someone else sees that and they would say, oh, that can't be. I have learned that I have to keep myself at a position, even my own books, I sometimes pull my hair out. I'm reading a house that Grace built. And I'm like, I can't confine to this, Lord. I can't completely confine to this. And you're probably like run to throw something at me. But I want you to understand that he can't just be confined. He's not just a process that you can just write out and that's all you're going to get. You did coda one, you did coda two, you're good to go. It doesn't work that way. You know why it doesn't work that way? Because your soul is complex. And there's a journey that's involved. And some of this you just can't learn theologically. You're going to have to experience it. And so one of the tools I really want to give you is for you to understand that and not be spooked by that. Embrace that. And I'm not talking about you to embrace an idea or philosophy or anything like that. I'm talking about learning how to intimately inject Jesus into your life, where he walks you to situations, where he walks you to memories, where he walks you to events, where he's actually so interactive in your life that you and him are going on this journey of your soul. And you know when he takes you to places that you really don't want to go, he's going there with a holy agenda for your well-being, and he's going to bring healing. And that you and him are so close, you're walking so together, that you're going to trust that wherever, the mountains and the valleys, that he knows what he's doing and he's capable of doing it, and he can lead you. You look at me and say, well, do I need to do something more? Honestly, I've gotten to the point where I don't know if you do or not. I could try to get a little bit of an understanding, but I, you know what? You are you. And nobody else in this room is going through what you're going through. Nobody, not a single person in this room. So while the principles can guide us, the Holy Spirit is the personalizer. Did that rhyme? Okay. Principles guide us, you guys. Formats and processes give us structure and accountability. They enlighten us. They help us. You need that. I'm not suggesting that you just, in fact, if you don't have structure and you don't have a place where you can go, chances are you won't even move on in this because it would be so overwhelming. So I'm not like telling you to leave the room and you don't need this anymore. I'm not saying that. I'm not. Believe me, you need both. But what I want you to understand is that this is not a religious process. Religious process says, I do this, 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 and then this. It's not that way. God might do exceedingly more than you think he's going to do through this process, and you might get stuck and be like, why am I stuck? And you know what the question really is? And in a counseling situation, I would say this too, is, you know, sometimes I don't know, but let's find out. Let's find out. Why not? Why not find out? Why not see what's there? And you know what I found in those places of I don't know? I don't really want to be the human being trying to assess that. I don't really want to be the one that's trying to tell people what they need to do. Now, in some cases as a counselor, I can see something. I could just spurt it out, boom, 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 boom. You know, it's there. And you know, in the addiction cycle and in boundaries, and there are many practical things that there's a clear-cut answer to them. Do you know what I mean? Saying you really can learn a concept, and it really will, you can find a lie and replace it with truth, and that's really all the extent that needs to take place. Well, you're believing this lie that you're unworthy, let's replace that with truth, okay? And that's clear cut, but there's other times it's not that simple. And so what I believe is an effective way of working through some of our deeper issues for those of you that this applies and those of you that don't need the extra push, that's okay too, is to what about we actually put the Holy Spirit into our inner life, welcome him in, and ask him to start showing us where we need to go. How about we ask him to take us to memories that need to be healed, to take us to situations where those roots were planted? And I want to talk a little bit about that, okay? Dealing with the past. And I wrote this out instead of notes because I couldn't do it justice in notes, okay? So you can read it when you get a chance. But dealing with the past, I'm going to read this a little bit word for word just for a minute because I really want to be collective. So this is on page 2, and this is really the essence of what I'm after and why we're staying here for a minute, because it's really, you guys, it's absolutely, it is at the heart of it. When we move over to marriage and parenting, until you understand the rooted system, none of that will even be able to really make a lot of sense, okay? So it says, people question the purpose of memories and healing. Did you ever get the people that are like, you don't have to look in the past, a new creation in Christ Jesus? You know, move on. What's wrong with you? They question why we have to look back. Traveling to our past can seem to merely be a form of self-pity and introspection that can incur deeper levels of bondage. But with the proper perspective and mission, we will find that it is a loving, passionate pursuit for our whole being. The past holds answers, and sometimes it brings to light the very place where destruction was formed. If you think of your soul as a field of soil, it's helpful to understand the progression. Okay, like any physical field, the soil and conditions of growth, we talked about this in chapter 3, must be present in order for a seed to take root. Once a seed takes root, the structure of the plant emerges and eventually it produces its prescribed fruit. The fruit that exists in the present, therefore, has a distinct relationship with the seed that was planted in the past. If that seed was toxic, and if it isn't dealt with, that will produce unhealthy fruit. Merely ripping bad fruit off a tree doesn't solve the problem. A system produced the fruit, and that must be dealt with at that level. In the case of inner healing, roots start with the seed that was usually in the form of trauma, lies, and shame. Those seeds then begin to harvest in life. The insanity is when we try to manage the fruit rather than confront the system that produced it. Okay, are you guys understanding that? I just want you to get that principle. Many times we have both toxic seed, but we also have unmet needs. That means that seed, it should have been planted, and that leaves us emotionally, mentally, and spiritually malnourished. So if you think of everything we're doing in terms of seeds, we have bad seeds and good seeds. Good seeds we're supposed to generate, they're supposed to speak into life into us. so that as we grew, we were nourished, we were fed, we can produce life. But seeds that are toxic fed a lie to us. They fed something that wasn't true. They spoke into us in a negative way. And so we have these seeds that erupted into plants that emerged into fruit, and we're dealing with the fruit. Marriage is dealing with fruit usually. Now there's usually seeded issues in a marriage as well, okay? But we're dealing with fruit. We bring in, we call it our baggage. In this case, we call it our fruit, okay? And so if you can just understand, let's just go over here to the last paragraph in that. In some cases, traumatic events also planted significant damage in our soul, causing woundedness and creating protective mechanisms that knew no level of harm. Any traumatic event has the potential to bring with it lies that we believe is truth, which in turn means that the enemy has captured that particular area in our lives. Through inner healing, God wants to take us back to the extent that we can identify where we got hurt, the lie, the belief system attached, and can then break the power the enemy gained over us. We do this by inserting the authority of Jesus to bring transformational grace, thereby by providing what we need that was missing or healing us from the damage that was done. Okay? What's this? Oh, okay, okay, okay. Were you, if you were on live streaming, is this, if this is someone that was on live streaming, our audio on live streaming isn't working, so the click webinar is. Anyway, I was really confused. I'm like, okay. The only problem is there a way that I can mute that? Because that's going to really distract me. I'm sorry. Okay. Just the background noise is going to distract me. Oh, okay. Okay, there we go. Okay, perfect. Okay, so they're on, they can hear me, and we're muted. It's all good. Okay, so what we want to do then is we want to see this. I just want you guys to see that there's actually territory in your soul. There's actually territory, okay? There's ground, there's land, there's fields. I know that that's weird, but it's really helpful. It's something that God showed me way, way back in the beginning. This is nothing new. If you can start seeing it that way, you can start to understand a little bit better how we can be Christians but not yet be free. And this is how. There are areas still wherever that lie is still, wherever that seed is still there, wherever it still has been able to thrive and live, okay? Not only are we living under that lie, but we also have, it's kind of like, and I don't mean like he's, I don't want to freak you out in saying that the enemy has that territory, but that's what we call a stronghold. And he kind of does have that part of our life, and he can mess with us and cause us an unbelievable amount of pain and stress, okay? And so when we want to take this stuff back, what we want to do is yank that seed out at its root. And we found, and I know some of my counselor friends in here and even some of the ones that are watching and just different people, and the more God keeps bringing these counselors into my life, even just someone from Illinois that I talked to today was sharing how she does, you know, it's just, it's evident to me how important this is, that sometimes we can't intellectually get to the seed. Sometimes our memory doesn't serve us well enough us to even comprehend that's the seed. And so inner healing prayer can help to take us to the place where the seed was rooted. Now, why is that? Like, is that person doing the prayer some just fabulous, amazing person? I have no confidence in myself at all, but I have full and complete confidence that the Spirit of Almighty God that knows that person from the inside out can do that work in them. And he can take them to that memory. He can take them to that place. He can take them to that seated root if he knows they're ready to deal with that. And here's the other thing. Don't think he's going to deal with it all at one time. You'd freak out if he dealt with it all at one time. You wouldn't be able to handle it. Like a magnifying, like a light, he's going in there. And I just want to keep speaking that picture over him. And I hope I'm not freaking anyone out. And if I am, just talk to me, okay? Because I'd rather get a chance to talk with you. But listen. It's like he's going in there with the light and he's guiding. And it's his love that's taking you there. And he wants to take you there because he knows that that's the spot, that that's the spot of trauma or damage, that that's where the lie lives and that's where you're still in bondage. And so there are some parts of this process that we've tried to get at it and we've tried to get at it. Some of you, maybe not so much. Maybe you and him have worked through a lot of that stuff, and maybe not so much. It's also the dimensional factor of healing is also why you get through a big chunk. Like you had this big barricade in your life. And I mean, you were like, oh, and you got through it, and you're like, I just released this big, heavy block in my soul. This is, I feel free. And all of a sudden you're moving along, and God's like, look what was behind that. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. I thought I was good to go. And then you go and you work through that. And you're like, I'm free. I'm free. I'm finally free. And he's like, we're going to go over here now. Do you understand what I mean by dimensional? Do you see that? It's not flat. It's not like he's going to lay it out on a map before you and you're going to, oh, okay. And it's just so pretty and packaged so nice. And no, you're going to go through the valleys and you're going to go through the canyons and you're going to go up the mountains and you're going to go down the mountains and you're going to experience it. Okay. And I really believe with all my heart and just seeing different people interact that for a lot of us that if we don't do that, we're not going to get healed. And somebody who gave the basis, and it cracks me up that recovery can get religious too. You got one, step one, step two, step three. And I mean, they got it down and they'll be able to recite it to you. And I'm working my third step and my fourth step and my fifth step. And I'm not ripping on 12-step programs. I'm not. They are very, very powerful and they can work very well. I'm just saying the concept of being so integrated in those steps that you're actually worshiping and serving the steps instead of the power, the activated power of the Holy Spirit that is meant to be working through those steps. Okay. Step one doesn't really quite honestly mean anything in and of itself. Did you experience step one? Did you come to a place of brokenness and surrender and realize you're powerless over people, over addictions, whatever it might be? That's the power of God working. That's not the step working. The step only explains it. Did you guys get that? I'm sorry that I keep teaching on this, the same thing over and over again. It's so important. That's why I'm not moving on. It's kind of like a bite. Did you ever go to a church and the pastor keeps saying, I'm sorry, I can't leave this chapter. And they keep teaching the same thing over and over again. You're like, you got to be kidding me. We've been through Ruth 600 times, dude. You know, come on, let's move on. And you're ready for something fresh. It's kind of like that. I'm kind of just stuck. I'm kind of can't until we're ready to move on. So anyway, the most important thing though about being on a where Jesus maybe takes us to a memory is not so much that we just see it. It's that we engage with him in that memory. And I don't even know how to put words how powerful that is when that happens. So when I see something in my past and God revisits it to me and he reminds me of what that little girl was experiencing in that moment, that in and of itself has trauma attached to it. But his goal is not just to show us trauma. His goal is to be present and active in that trauma. I don't have words to describe how radically powerful that is when the heart connection is made. And what does that look like? Well, let's go through. And I encourage you to read this. I'm sorry I couldn't give it to you earlier, but I didn't have it any earlier. So I keep getting sick too. This is like, I'm on my third flu bug since my husband's surgery. It's just bizarre. Anyway, prayer is a method of seeing the past. Okay, so let's look at what Jesus wants to do in that bulleted point there. Jesus leads us into the past. It leads us to the past or into the current crisis situations, knowing already what's there, what happened, how we got hurt, and how we need to heal. I don't want to have anyone but Jesus leading my life. No one, because he's the only one that knows the whole story. Jesus leads us into the darkness of our experience with the authority. Let's all say the word authority. Authority. I just want you to get that ingrained in your head. With the authority to overcome it. Jesus requires vulnerability and permission to be granted to access those places within. Sorry, there's typos in here. To access those places within. It's a door, and you got to ask him into the door. If you don't ask him in, he won't come in. He's honorable. I think this phone is still on. Jesus desires that we see this memory through his perspective rather than our own. He wants us to embrace that he is experiencing it with us, including the injury and violation. Theologically, that sounds great. Have you actually wept with Jesus over some of the trauma that you've been exposed to? Have you actually cried with him? have you actually perceived of his presence? And the question that we get over and over again is, why was he, if he was there, then why did he let it happen? And we have to defer always to the tremendous, unbelievable, I think I talked about it last week, of free will. I mean, free will is free will, free will. Jesus desires that we see this, okay. Jesus wants us to feel, grieve, and hate the negative things that occurred. To simply swipe through it quickly negates the impact and importance it had on us. Grieving needs to take time. It will come in stages, and there is no set in stone equation that can be done. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to do some prayer. We're not going to break up in groups. We're going to do prayer today. If you guys would be more comfortable, would you be more comfortable breaking up into your groups, like circling around your groups, as opposed to sitting in chairs? I mean, if you want, we can take a little break and do that. But I want to give you, if you don't care. Now, I understand that some people aren't vulnerable in this setting necessarily to do this. So you can engage to the extent that you feel like engaging. And I can speak for myself that nobody in here, I, you know, whatever you need to do, you lay on the ground. I don't care. You know, really, seriously. I mean, whatever you want to do, anything, you can pretty much do anything except yell and scream or something that would distract other people, like in an obnoxious way. Okay. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to do, and I talked a little bit about New Age because I want to make it clear that I'm not talking about like a guided tour, like via New Age style. Okay. I mean, I have to cover my base. I've learned that I have to bring this stuff up. Otherwise, you know, someone will be like, you're teaching New Age in there. It's like, no, I'm not teaching New Age. Are you kidding me? So that's part of the reason why, and I'm probably going to perfect this a little bit, but if I ever go and do a prayer with somebody, I have to give them kind of a little bit of a background, and I end up having to teach them on these principles because otherwise they'll be like, what are we doing? Okay, do you understand what I mean? Prayer reflection project guided. So we're going to ask the Lord to show you an area of focus, and we're working on the past. So more than likely your parents would be a good area of focus. That would be probably, but I don't really know in this particular prayer session where it wants to lead you, and I'm not going to control it. Does that make sense? Okay. And what we want to do is ask him to take us somewhere where we can see and we can actually experience a certain period of our life, a circumstance, an event. Okay, so we want him to take us there. Does that make sense to you guys, everyone? Okay. And then once we connect to a memory, wherever it is, in the visual, that whatever it is, we want to ask Jesus to help us assess it. So some of the things we're going to look for inside of that memory is we're going to look for the wound, which is the raw emotion of our pain. Now, what normally keeps people from even getting into an original wound is the callus or the blister that grew over that, which is self-protection, okay? So if you have self-protection still, God has to just gently, like a surgeon. I think I told you that my husband's heart surgery, he had scarring. They found scar tissue in his heart, and scar tissue is very hard and very difficult to work with. So it took him about 3 hours longer to perform the surgery than if he went to have scar tissue. Okay, and I just want you to understand, if you have calluses on your heart, it might take a little longer to get through that. There's no crystal clear solution for your situation. It really depends on what you've been exposed to. There are people that have been exposed to unbelievable amounts of trauma. And there are people not so much. Just, you know, there's dysfunction. It's not injury at that level. And so they don't have as much to deal with. So that's why there's just no comparing. There's just no comparing journeys here. It would be unfair and wrong to do that, okay? So we want to look at the nature of lie, the place where the bondage formed, what beliefs existed in that room, how we responded and reacted, how we judged the sin. So what we're doing is we're doing the same concepts in a house that was built in your projects, how you're writing it down, but we're going to pray through it. Does that make sense to everyone? Did I talk enough? Are you like sick of hearing me talk? Okay. I don't know about that. We want to renounce sin. Renouncing is very important. Sin is always a culprit. Now, I'm not necessarily, you're sinning. I don't mean it like that. But the sin represents the territory where the enemy got in. And the blood of Jesus represents the way to overcome that sin. So you don't want to not call it sin, because then it might have been sin someone imposed against you. I mean, to be like, oh, well, they didn't mean it. You know, it just is what it is. It's ugly, and we got to call it that. And then wherever that is, then if there is any kind of demonic stronghold where the enemy's kind of been playing on that part of our lives, we just, you know, we ask the Lord to remove that as well. okay, that the enemy would no longer be able to be given any rights into that part of our lives. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. Do you want to take a break before we pray and get comfortable? We still haven't figured out our audio on live streaming. I'm absolutely stumped. I blame the devil. Yeah, stop the stream for a minute. Stream, we'll be back.